Hip hop array.
Oh,
hey.
Oh,
I didn't even mean to. It is so good to be back. Isn't it, Jay?
If there's one thing that I've thought so far today,
yep,
is that it's good to be back.
Now, those of you that are listening on release day, Monday,
yeah,
maybe you're noticing that it's coming out a couple hours late. Mm-hmm. Truth be told, we're recording it today.
Yeah, that's right. This is in the moment recording, yep, and then sending it right out to the masses.
So if I forget to, you know, we really go off the rails sometimes and I cut it out. So I'm not going to have time to do that today. So
whatever we talk about is going out there.
It's going out there.
Well, let's keep it above board in every single way and say good morning to all of you. Happy Monday. Welcome to Drive Time with Jason and Brent.
Yeah.
Hope everyone had a fantastic weekend.
I did.
What did you do? What was the highlight?
I got back from camp.
Yeah, you did.
On Saturday.
Yep.
My wife.
Woodlands
and,
camp.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and my son were supposed to be in Charleston.
Okay.
But they couldn't go with the family.
Okay.
They couldn't go because of a potential
hurricane.
Sickness.
Oh, a sickness.
And so since Caitlin's nephew was going to be down there, we didn't want a whole thing. And so I thought I was going to come home to not my family, and I was very happy to come home to my family.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good for you. So yeah, you had a nice weekend with them.
Yeah, and it also helped that MoviePass crashed. So I had plans to go
watch some movies.
And I found out that my family was going to be home, and I'm like, this is awesome. But then also I found out MoviePass crashed. I couldn't go to the movies anyways. And I was like, the kindness of the Lord.
There are some people out there who go MoviePass. Jason Brand, what's that? Ladies and gentlemen, there was this company who thought it'd be a fantastic idea to charge people a little bit of money.
$10 a month.
And allow them to see as many movies as possible.
Right.
Now, I know this is going to shock all of you when I let you know that company is now going under.
They ran out of money.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fact that they thought that this could work is a little bit discouraging.
I think it was just a nice gift from them.
What you may not know about Brandon is that he loves the movies.
I love the movies.
We don't use Drive Time to critique them. Not saying that we never would. But you're a moviegoer.
Let's talk about Mission Impossible.
You're a moviegoer. You're a movie buff. You really like it. And so he's a little discouraged that MoviePass is going under. On the other hand, Jason Malone, who I think brings balance to this relationship, goes to 2 movies a year.
Yep.
Usually per the recommendation of Brandon and or Kyle Estep, who also loves the movies. Jason, we know you.
We know
the genres that you would like.
Yes.
This is worth your $73 that you're going to go spend at the movies.
I would just like to say, I did not tell you that you should go see Hotel Transylvania 3.
You did not.
And you did it anyways.
Well, that's because the children wanted to. They had seen 1 and 2.
Uh-huh.
And so
you got it when there's a third.
When there's a trackwell,
right?
Then you need to go.
It's like no one needed Mighty Ducks 3,
right?
But we're not upset that it happened,
right? Is that Emilio Estevez? Is he still doing things?
What's your favorite Mighty Ducks?
I've never seen any of them, and I know that's going
to
surprise you.
We need to
maybe a marathon sometime.
Yeah, the next 3 episodes of Drive Time are going to be us critiquing Mighty Ducks 1, 2, and 3.
I doubt that's what it's going to be. Well, I'm glad you had a good week. I'm glad camp was great. I'm glad you came home to your family.
Yes.
I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, Brand. I'm still battling what we thought last week. I talked about it, summer cold.
Yeah.
What I learned yesterday, however, medical research has been done, and someone passed this information on to me. Byron Smith passed this information on to me yesterday that evidently there are some high winds this year in the Sahara Desert.
How high?
Higher than normal.
Uh-huh.
And as a result, the winds have moved the sands of the Sahara into the stratosphere a little bit further, a little bit higher, a little bit more forcibly, does it sound medical, than in years past. And so actually what I'm struggling with is I have the desert in my throat.
Yeah.
There are sand particles that have made their way into the sinus cavity of my heart and soul and mind. And that's the reason I have
a
summer cold.
It's like that verse, as far as the sand blows from the east to the west.
From the Sahara.
Yes.
That's exactly right. So that's what I've got going on. So apologies out there to those having to listen on Drive Time. I'm currently drinking a cup of coffee.
I say it every time you're not feeling good, you sound better.
Okay.
This way.
Okay. So maybe I should. I get one cold a year. Last year it was September. A result of that was coughing so much I threw my back out, bulging disc. That's a sign of old age. So far, with this bout of the summer cold, my back's feeling pretty good. So I wanted to give that update.
I'm glad.
All right.
It's
what
less
we
coughing and more just...
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
On to what we really wanted to talk about on Drive Time. We have been studying through Psalms and Proverbs.
We sure have.
Was it last week that we talked a little bit more about Psalm 23?
It was.
And over the last couple of weeks across our congregations, we've been talking about Proverbs 3, another very popular passage of scripture for those that have grown up in or around the church.
As the deer.
No. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he's going to make straight your paths.
That is where I was going.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And one of the things that we spent some time chatting about, and again, with this entire series, especially because a few of the passages are familiar, we don't want to rush past them. Mm-hmm. Like, we've been trying to think creatively as a staff team, as a pastoral team, and worship team, but how do we have people really stop and ponder what it is that we're discussing with these passages?
Pause and ponder.
We're changing
the podcast name.
Yeah, that would have been a great name. And so, even as we did Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, we took the last little part of our morning of worship, and we posed some questions, mm-hmm. really around idolatry, mm-hmm. for people to be processing and thinking through, because that's part of what we were talking about in regards to trusting in the Lord and not on our own understanding. Part of what I shared was we have to be willing to admit that we're limited in our understanding. Yeah. We have to be willing to admit that we're dependent, that we were made in such a way that we are to depend, and obviously as God that we are to depend upon. And so as limited beings, we have to be able to acknowledge our limitedness in our understanding in order to be able to trust well.
Right.
And so I enjoyed at the end of our time being able to pose some questions to our folks, really from Tim Keller. They weren't original with us, to pose some questions that Tim had asked back in the day in regards to idolatry.
Tim.
Before I get to that, yeah, Tim and I. First name basis, as far as I know him by his first name.
Yes.
Process a little bit, Bran, what you were thinking through and processing through as we talked through Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Yeah, as I heard you teach us this message, and we got to these questions, it was one humdinger after the next. I feel like I feel like idolatry is such a tricky thing because it is something that unless you're thinking very well about it and being very intentional and asking these types of questions, it is just something that can sneak up on you.
That's right.
Totally mess with you without even really realizing it. So a lot of these questions that I believe we're going to go through, a few of them.
Yeah.
Are questions that I think is just wise to ask on a regular basis to kind of recalibrate our life, if that makes sense. So again, these questions aren't like crazy questions. These are pretty simple questions that are taking time to ponder them and actually looking inwardly can really reveal some things about ourselves that I think are really good things to think well about.
Yeah, I think sometimes when you come, like I said, to a verse like trust in the Lord with all of your heart, people go, yeah, I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. I do that. I've done that, whatever the case may be. And the thing about, I talked a little bit about this. I don't know what people think about when they think about idolatry. I think growing up, I thought more of totem poles and bowing down to man-made objects, because that's how it's talked about sometimes.
The bunny. From VeggieTales?
Yep, exactly. And so what I like about what we're processing and thinking through is, no, like, idolatry can be anything that takes the rightful place of God
even
in
really
your
good
life.
Things.
Even really good things. And there's a book that Tim Keller wrote years ago called Counterfeit Gods, and if you haven't read it, I give it two thumbs up. Brandon also gives it two thumbs up, so that equals four thumbs. It's a really great book. And in that book, one of the things he says is idolatry is often, you know, good things that become ultimate things.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're alluding to when you say, man, I need to spend some time on a regular basis thinking about have good things become ultimate things. And for a lot of us, that's a daily thing to process through. That's not a sermon one time. That's not when I was 12. That's not when I was 25. Like, that's a daily thing to process. And as you said, ponder, pause and ponder.
Yeah.
And to be able to think about, because I think, obviously, if you're in a relationship with the God of the universe through his son, Jesus Christ, nothing's going to change that. Nothing can alter that. Satan can't take that. And at the same time, I think Satan is very cunning. Scripture teaches us that. Very deceitful. Scripture teaches us that. Very intentional. Scripture teaches us that. And so I think that there will constantly, even for followers of Jesus, be things, some of them good things,
yeah,
that he dangles in front of us and allow those things to become ultimate things in our life, whether that be for a month or 6 months or 7 years or whatever the case may be. And without us regularly hearing from the Spirit of God through the Word of God, without us regularly interacting with friends that also love Jesus and love us, that can point out things in our life, our family members, then I think we can live blindly and allowing good things to become ultimate things.
You know, and I think it's interesting. Last episode, we talked about rest, and I think it's a natural transition for this to be the next thing. It's really difficult to rest when you are under the weight of idolatry.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to rest well.
Yeah.
So these are just more questions that we can continue to ask ourselves in the quest of resting well.
Yeah.
Thinking well.
That's
about
really good.
Questions
you can't rest in Him if you're finding your significance in something else.
Yeah.
Rest in Him comes from finding significance and value and worth in Him. And we talked a little bit about that yesterday. You know, we live in such a self-centered, me-centered culture, and everyone's telling you to think well about you. Like, if you just think the best of yourself, if you just think you're beautiful, if you just think you're awesome, if you just think you're the best, like, that's all that you need in life to get you through life. Like, it doesn't matter what everybody else says. It's just what you think about you. Mm-hmm. But that's not true. Everybody needs something outside of them to validate them. And that's what makes the gospel so beautiful. It's what makes the gospel so powerful, is that God, through Jesus, says, I choose you. That's the validation. And yet we live in this culture where we're still looking to other things. Obviously, we see people who don't know Jesus at all that are constantly looking to other things to validate them and give them significance and worth. And then I think the tendency can be, for those of us that are followers of Jesus, we say, well, I took care of that. My security is in Christ alone. I'm in Him. That's changed everything. And while that is absolutely true, it doesn't mean that we don't do the due diligence of regularly asking the Spirit of God to reveal to us if other things have kind of become more important to us, so to speak, than they should, or become more important to us than who we are. Than who we are in Jesus,
yeah.
And I would venture to say that if we'll do the work of peeling things back, what we will find is no, there are some things that have a tendency to become ultimate things in my life, and for the rest of my life, I think there can be growth. I think there can be transformation. I think there's sanctification, obviously, mm-hmm. but those things won't just never be there again. That it'll take intentionality on our part, listening well to the Spirit of God, living in biblical community, being in the Word, being quiet before the Lord, to allow Him to continue to reveal those things that compete for where He should be in our life.
Totally. So, let's talk about a few of these questions.
Yeah, these are a few of them. One of the things we encouraged our folks to do, by the way, I taught this message at Greer. I taught it at Malden. I taught it at Cherrydale twice. And at all those places, I encouraged the folks, like, please write these down. Please pull out your phones or iPads, whatever, and take pictures of the slides of these questions that are on the screen. Because, like I said, I don't believe this is something that you just think about at the end of a message.
People are doing that.
Yeah, I was
They're taking pictures of the screen. It's a very interesting thing that I've never thought to do myself.
And in most places, I'm located close to the screen.
Yeah.
So I've become a little self-conscious of, like,
there's a lot of people that have
maybe
pictures
I need to suck
you.
In my gut a little bit more and or anything like that. And so, I've been surprised at the number of people who just pull out the phone and take a picture of the screen instead of jotting things down.
I want someone to bring an old, like, video camera.
Okay.
Like one of those old, like, throw it on the shoulder.
The big thing that you put on your shoulder?
Yeah.
And record that?
Yeah, just
the screen?
Yeah. I'd like that.
That would be fantastic. I'm not opposed to it.
Sometimes I feel like when someone uses an iPad to take a picture, that's kind of what it's like.
Yeah.
It's just giant.
Well, it depends on the size of the iPad, but yeah, that's absolutely true.
But keep doing what you're doing, people.
Yeah, because we know you're taking this information and continuing the process.
We love it. You're doing a great job.
Whatever works best for
you. That's right.
I would like for someone to bring in, like, a little recorder that they speak into. So, like, when it pops up, they just real quietly.
Why couldn't they just record you?
Like this. Yeah, they could do that, I guess. Do that. All right, here are some of the questions that we discuss. What one thing do you most hope is in your future? And again, I think part of what we tried to articulate is with these questions, the answers that you come up with aren't necessarily bad things
or
bad answers. What we would ask that you consider, what we've been considering even in our own lives, is have those things or has that thing become more of an ultimate thing than it should. So yeah. When you think about what's in your future, is it career success? Is it, man, if I could just make X amount of money, you know, we'd be set. Or if I could just get an X size of a house, we would be set. Or if I could just get that second vacation home, we would be set. Or if I could get another car that's like this, we would be set. Or if I was respected by my colleagues at this level, you know, everything would be okay in the world. And I guess one of the ways we asked that question was, what's the one thing in your life that without it you would go, man, I don't know if life's really worth living? Like, and that's not, I think that that answer lies there for more people than are willing to stop and think about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people right off the top of their head would go, well, nothing. There's nothing that I think about that I would go, well, life's not worth living if I don't have it. But like, evaluate your thought time, how you spend your time, how you spend your free time, how you spend your resources, how you spend your money. I mean, that is one of the things that I've learned through the years. Like, if I'll do the hard work of following how I'm spending my thought time and how I'm spending even my finances, like, that's going to lead me to see something.
Right.
So what's the one thing that you hope most is in your future? And if you didn't have it, you just don't know that you could find happiness.
Yeah, like most things, it's the motivation behind those things. So again, there's nothing wrong with having plans and goals for life and for career and for family. Like, those are all good things.
Yeah.
But the motivation behind why do you want those things to come to, what is it,
fruition?
Fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what is the why behind the what there?
I mean, the flip side of that, I mean, it's really the same question just flipped around. Like, what's the one thing that you're most terrified of losing?
Mm-hmm.
So on one hand, it's like, what are you striving for? You go, I got to have this to make me matter. And then what's the one thing you already have that if you lost it, it would crush you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great one to think about. And I'm having this conversation, I have it on a pretty regular basis with people. They live anxious, they live worried that something's going to happen. I think a lot of times for this one, it's around people they love and they care about. I've had conversations and interactions with folks where that's their spouse. Like, if I lost my spouse, like, I don't know. For others, it's their children. When kids start coming into the world and you love this kid so much, and if something were to happen to my child. And for others, it is the security of the money that's in the bank. For others, it is the job. This job has become so prestigious. It has so much become my identity that if I lose it, I'm crushed. If I lose it, I've lost my happiness. If I lose it, I've lost the reason for going on. And so I think that's another one just to constantly evaluate. And again, nothing wrong with loving your wife, nothing wrong with her husband, nothing wrong with loving your kids, nothing wrong with loving your job. Like you said, all those things are great things.
Yeah.
But do you live in a sense of, like, are you able to be honest enough with yourself that you maybe live in a state of anxiousness and worry because of it? Are you willing to ask those that you do life with the most if they observe you? That's a huge one, right? Would you look at your spouse? Would you look at your best friend and say, do you observe this in me? Do you see me freaking out or living anxious around losing something?
Yeah.
Man, I think that's, maybe it's your health. Maybe, you know, yeah, I think of that. The older I get, you know, I think of the things that I love to do. I love to golf. We laughed a little bit about me throwing out my back, but, you know, I had that bulging disc last fall and I was down and out for a couple of months. And that was a thing for me. Like, I processed through that. What if I can't play again? And, like, felt this sense of, like, because I really didn't know if I'd play. I know that sounds maybe a little weird. I'm not going Tiger Woods on everybody.
Similar to Tiger in that way,
very
though,
similar, like, to Tiger. And the fact that we've won a lot of championships.
Yeah.
But, no, I just remember, like, I wrestled with that a little bit. It's like, but what if I couldn't? Would that put me in a state of depression? Would that be like, man, I just... So that's what I'm saying. Like, life happens, and as life happens, we've got to be able to stop and ask these questions.
Yeah.
And regularly think about them. Another one we've talked about is, if you could change one thing about yourself right now, what would it be? And again, nothing wrong with wanting to change things about yourself. That's good. I'm all for it. But if those things become ultimate things, I think the other way we asked the question was, what one thing or two things, like, if they don't change in your life, then you can't imagine being happy.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think we may be this person, but we also are doing life with this person. And they just see life through the lens of this thing won't change. Therefore, I have no joy in my life.
Yeah.
I have no happiness in my life. Yeah. And the reason you can push on that a little bit and go, what's that about? Is because you do have the Lord. If you have Jesus, do you actually have what you need? Is that just something we say? Is that just something we sing? Is that just something we know we're supposed to say? Or is it actually true?
Yeah.
I think that's a thing to constantly process and think through as well. So I don't know how much time we have.
We got about one more minute.
Oh, we've really taken up all the time?
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. If you'd like to know more of these questions, because there's like seven or eight more, you can go online, listen to the message on Proverbs 3. You can watch the video.
The video's on the Facebook if you want to go.
If it's on the video, then you can also see the screen where the questions are. And then you can take a picture
of the video of the screen.
That's exactly right. So process through and think through these, and let's be talking a little bit more about it.
And you know what I think is really neat of the Lord is we've seen him many, many times, even in our own lives, kind of reveal these things and use maybe losing something to continue to sanctify us, to grow us in this. So to even the kindness of the Lord to reveal these things to us.
Yeah, and I said that yesterday in Cherrydale. Like, it's one of the ways I concluded my message, and that was the Lord, if you are the Lord's, the Lord loves you enough to remove the idols from your life. I think he's gracious in how he does that, obviously. I think he's very patient at times in how he does that. Yeah. But he does it. He will not let other things compete for the place that he should be in our lives. So, hey, we love you. We hope you have a fantastic week out
there. Next week, we have a very special, fun episode. It's like kids say the darndest things.
Yes.
But
Brandon and I, I'm speaking at Woodlands Camp this week, and Brand's going to come down for a little bit of time, and we're going to talk to the kids.
Yeah. What's on the kids' minds?
What's on the kids' minds? I think this will be very insightful for those of you that maybe don't know what's happening with high schoolers in America today.
This is a spoiler alert. You're going to have more questions going out of it
than when you went into
it. Yeah.
That's fair. All right, everybody. Keep it out there. Keep it out there at 10 and 2. I saw a 15-year-old driving yesterday, legally, has the permit.
It shouldn't happen.
And I said the same thing. I said, hey, are you listening to the podcast? Mom and Dad said we don't let her listen to the radio in any way, shape, or form while going down the road.
Oh, wow.
Which is fine. I don't have a problem with that rule, having daughters myself. But I did say every week we remind everybody, keep their eyes on the road, no texting and driving, keep it at 10 and 2, buckle up.
Yeah, and I think one thing that we might do is we might just make like, 30-minute tracks, an hour-long tracks of us just saying different things like that to give to the kids, the youth of America.
Keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah, and so like parents can put that in the car and press play as their kid leaves, and they can't turn it off.
Even when the light turns green, still look left and right before you proceed. Doesn't mean other people have seen it.
If you hit somebody accidentally while pulling out of a Bank of America, like stop and make sure that that person's okay.
Yellow means slow down, not speed up. I think we could come up with an hour worth of things for that.
We're working on it. Bye, everybody.
Love you. Bye.